All right, this is Jeff McDaniel with Christy Staten, interview for ENT 610, spring 2025. Christy is the Commander-in-Chief of Creative Force, and I appreciate you spending some time this morning for this interview.
Well, I've been looking forward to it, Jeff.
Yeah, me too. It's great. So tell me a little bit about your background and what you do in Creative Force.
Okay, so at Creative Force, right now we are focused on developing online presence for our clients. That includes the branding, how they're represented in their branding, their messaging, and then it's manifested as a website. So once you build the website, we still need to attract people to the website. So we use a variety of digital marketing methods to drive traffic.
Okay. What made you get into it, and how did you kind of get into that?
Well, it was 100% a mistake.
That's how I got into construction.
So. Really? So, you know, I guess I can just start with when I was growing up, I was an artist, and that was one of the few things that I actually excelled at. And my mom was really smart and nurtured us in the things that we enjoyed. And from there, I went to study industrial design and graphic design at Carnegie Mellon University. Mm-hmm. So at the core of everything, I am a designer. And when I got into the real world, my first job was in exhibit design. And we designed mobile exhibits that were transported on tractor trailers. We represented Fortune 500 companies in mobile exhibits that would travel around the country. And that brought to light brand marketing as an experience. So brand sampling, really being able to interact with the brand, however you want to, you know, make an experience out of a brand, whether it's sampling cigarettes or like Just My Size was one of those where women would come in, they would, I don't know if you know, women have shapes like apples or pear. Mm-hmm. We are so difficult to fit that it Just My Size has all of those different shapes. And so you would find out what kind of clothing flatters your type of body. You mm-hmm. could try on clothing. You could get samples of makeup. And basically, it was sort of a feel-good experience. That's what Just My Size wants people to feel about their brand. So that was experiential marketing. When I started my own business the first time around, I was focused on graphic design. And I quickly learned that I just wanted things to look good, but I learned that if we were using poorly written copy, if we were using copy that was focused on the client instead of the target market, then everything was going to fall short. So I started studying about how to communicate. And then when, you know, I was doing this work before there were websites. So when websites came about, you know, they're just some things that you can't ignore, and if you want to get a piece of the pie, you got to learn and develop new skills. And so that's how I ended up in digital marketing.
Okay. Yeah, because the day before the internet was all paper or news articles,
right,
or radio or TV, and
yeah,
it's expensive that way too, but
yeah,
the internet of things have basically changed a lot of that and made it easier to kind of reach out and grab more people,
right,
people's attention. But it also makes it makes you more vulnerable too if you're not ready for it, I guess.
Right.
And I guess I'm assuming that you kind of answered the question of what attracted you to marketing, was kind of like your background and before, but seeing that different trajectory for you, not going into graphic design anymore and more into the marketing and website design.
Well,
do you enjoy that more?
I like it all. I mean, so graphic design is still applicable for websites, mm-hmm. but also what attracts me to it really is that a lot of people try to do it themselves and they just don't have the time. And as I said in my presentation yesterday, there are years and years of education that go into all of the different facets that make a website work, like search engine optimization and having it be ADA compliant. Even if you don't think anybody blind is ever going to get on your website, Google knows if you haven't followed best practices in the code behind the website. So I just like really helping a company turn their marketing around. I've got a couple of projects right now where the website was just ineffective and doesn't align with what their goals now are. And I just love being able to reconstruct that and give them something that's really focused and is going to drive conversions.
Yeah, I had the, for those that are listening, I had the pleasure of watching your presentation this week, right?
Or
Wednesday. And I think what surprised me is I didn't realize there was an ADA compliance behind websites that was not necessarily it's not required, but it's more of a best practice that Google would use. If you have that, you may get higher on the search engine optimization.
Yeah, so ADA compliance, I mean, one of the most simple things to do is just to label your photographs. You give it a title and you give it an alt text. So when somebody, if they're visually impaired and they're using a screen reader, they're not missing any important information in an image that supports the message in the copy. The other thing is those words are also something that the search engines glom onto. So it just boosts your boosts your presence. And if you don't have that compliance, Google, it could damage your results, your rankings.
That's interesting. So tell me a typical day of what you kind of do in marketing. I would imagine that it's different every day, but also like what kind of clients you would prefer or work with.
Okay. I mostly work with business to business type clients, service oriented, and it could be, you know, somebody in the health and wellness sphere. Like I've got a chiropractor, I've got an acupuncturist, I've got a massage therapist. So in that realm, I am able to support all those people and they're not competing directly with each other. Another example would be the home services industry, like your business. I could work with a plumber and your type of business and the kitchen cabinet person and
even cleaning services probably.
And cleaning services and lawn care, and you know, none of them are competing with each other, so but you know, the method of marketing those businesses is still very similar.
Yeah, I think that's one area we struggle a lot on is our branding and how to market that better. So that's one thing that we are trying to work on, which we'll probably use your services to do that. So I guess we can get into like marketing strategy. So how do you kind of approach a company or help them if they don't, like my company, right? I would say we don't know anything about marketing. And how would you kind of go about getting us into that realm and describe the importance of why you would need your services?
Okay. So it's definitely helpful if a company has a history, you know, maybe 2, 3, 5 years history to identify where their business is coming from, what kind of business is most profitable. You know, like you may get... this may or may not be true, but let's say people want you to repair their deck or build a fence. Well, maybe that's not as profitable as adding on. So you want to be, you know, have that kind of intel so we know about the messaging and how do we, you know, target these individuals. And it could be, you know, there's a lot of different ways. Print, street signs, and then, of course, digital, but everybody's competing in the digital realm. And it's a saying that if somebody is only, a business is only relying on their website for business, then we have a real problem.
Yeah.
Because it's just way too much to put on, you know, your digital presence.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we do, at least at Omniverse, is we do the basic stuff, where we're going to, we have our website, we go on social media, typically Instagram and Facebook, which are like the basics, like everybody does those things. We don't necessarily, get on TV or radio ads. And we are kind of on a radio ad because we, with Tim Beeman and the, the such and such media, it's the Omniverse studios. Cause we did some work for him, which, so we get recognition that way, but I don't know how far of a reach that is, to our target market. Right. And then we do go outside of like the norms by doing, there's not a lot of people when you think about small businesses that go to networking events. So we're members of multiple chambers. We do the leads groups, as you know, throughout those, through the chambers. I'm also part of the Rotary Club, part of the Home Builders Association, that type of thing. So we kind of try to do that. And then we give free site visits, which I feel like is part of like that personal, marketing or trying to sell, sell your business.
Yeah.
So, we're getting, we're really good on those things. We're not really good on the digital side of it and kind of pushing our message forward to, like there's certain areas in this location, like Buena Vista and, Bermuda Run. And, we are in Ardmore, which is great. So we're on their Facebook. We get a lot of work out of Ardmore, which are really good locations here, but really our target market is Buena Vista and Bermuda Run type areas where it's more high end renovations.
And you know, for that kind of thing, I would recommend, of course, you always have to test and measure. I would not guarantee that you're going to get anything out of it, but they've got magazines that are targeted just to those neighborhoods.
Yeah, so I have a meeting after this class, because I don't have time for it right now, but with Stroll.
Okay.
So I'm going to have a one-on-one with the person in Stroll. And she's the one that manages those three magazines. And it's not too expensive. And I feel like we put ourselves in those magazines. If it's $1,500 a year, then it's going to pay for itself in one project, in those types of projects.
Well, there's a good way to test those ads too. Aside from asking everybody who comes through, you know, you can set up a URL that is specific to that ad.
Mm.
And then track every time somebody lands on it, even if it just forwards to your main page.
Mm-hmm.
But also a QR code, those are trackable.
Mm.
And you can set up a specialized 800 number. So, you know, anytime you do some advertising, you want to track it and make sure that.
Yeah, that's something that we do not do right now.
Okay.
We do get some Google Analytics, that, but they're not really useful. Mainly because not very many people go to our site. One thing we did start doing last year is we started having clients, when they would call us, we would send them a link, or if they texted us, we would send them a link to our website to request a quote. So it pushes people to our website. So hopefully we get more traffic in our website. And then they fill out the form online, and then that form uploads to our CRM, which we've gotten a lot more traffic that way. And when you do Google our company, maybe not number one, but we're at least in there if you say general contractor near me.
Okay.
Because the other thing we also started doing is we did a DBA, because Omniverse is kind of broad. We wanted it to be broad. But we did a DBA as Omniverse General Contractors and registered that with the Secretary of State. But now we put ourselves in Google that way. So that way, if somebody says General Contractor, we're already kind of up there a little bit because it's specific naming.
Yeah.
But again, we're doing this shotgun blast, and we want to really be more targeted to what do we need to do from a marketing perspective. And so that's our next step. But I mean, to kind of move a little bit into industry insight. So what do you think the biggest challenges facing marketing today?
There's so much.
There's so many challenges.
There's just so many different ways to market. And it's really hard to decide, you know, what is going to be successful and, you know, again, it's just testing and measuring and, you know, having that knowledge of what kind of customers you want to work with, what's most profitable and where to find them. But yeah, I mean, I think Facebook and other social channels have become like the website of the 90s. You had to have a website.
Right.
And I think a lot of this is one of the biggest challenges, and I've not seen numbers to disprove me or prove me right either, which is I think so many companies think they need to be on social media and it's not doing anything for them.
Yeah.
But it's another point of verification for somebody who's searching for services.
Yeah. I think that's for us, we get majority of our leads and when we win projects is based off of word of mouth through our networking or through previous customers.
Yeah.
And most of our previous customers are from networking.
Yeah.
or referrals from networking. So whether it's BNI or the Chambers or the Rotary, we're getting a phone call. So we're getting a lot more traffic that way or a lot more referrals that way. We do get some on Yelp, and we get some through Google, but for the most part, it's been through our networking.
I think a lot of people are tempted to do it themselves, mm-hmm. because it seems easy enough to post something on Facebook or any other social media channel. But if you're not tracking that, people are, you know, and they think, well, we've got 250 followers and they may not know that only 3% of those people are going to see your post,
right?
For a business page. And people just trying to do things and wasting money when they don't really know how to do it, I think is one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah. Well, I think we had a conversation before this. My website is, and when you go to the website and you type the website in, it takes probably 5 or 6 seconds to get to, for it to actually pop up, which when you were going over your presentation, you said, you know, people get bored or
just impatient.
Yeah, impatient, yeah. Right? Because it's we want things right now.
That's
right?
A long time, though. I would think if a website's not working and not delivering, either the business is closed or
right.
Something's tragically wrong and I just need to find, you know,
somebody else.
What's the website URL?
It's omniverus.com.
Okay, I'll look it up. I'm wondering if it's like a photo or something that is so big.
It might be. It's also hosted under several different things.
So you've got a lot of
there's probably
points, this pointing to that, pointing to that. That's a problem too. Yeah. That's what's slowing it down, I bet.
Probably. And so that's we tried to fix it.
Even something like using a Google font, you're still pulling up the website and your website is pulling up Google's to reference that font. And so that's another, you know, tracking ping.
Yeah. So every time you go and have to ask something else or
right.
verify something else,
it takes technical.
Time. And it may not be 5 seconds. I haven't timed it yet, but it is a long time compared to like if I go to somebody else's site, as soon as I type it in, within a second, it's coming up.
Have you done a speed report?
No.
It'll tell you for free. I'll try to run one for you. What's actually going on?
Yeah, that'd be great. So we may be your new case study. But do you have? And I know you've been doing this for a long time. Give me an idea of like your. What you feel was like your most successful client and how you kind of like that went from like nothing to now they're very successful or they're getting a lot more. And I don't know if that's.
She's not making millions or anything,
right.
But I want to tell you something about the acupuncturist that I was working with. So it's a industry that's, there's a lot of competition and there's a ton of chiropractors and other health practitioners mm-hmm. around. And she was brand new. And I built her a very simple website to start with just because of her budget. But I taught her how to blog. and I taught her what what to blog about or how to find topics that were relevant. And then just different like tricks to do in your blog, you know, pointing to a reference, like let's say she's writing something about medicine, pointing to research on Duke that validates what you're saying. And so I just taught her a bunch of tricks, and she is just tickled to death to be, you know, one and two in the organic list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which is great. So it gets her up there right on the top.
Yeah. And I teach a lot of people how to use their websites, but very rarely does anybody, because they're stuck in the, you know, minutia. But but she's really happy with that. So
especially in a small business.
Yeah.
Constantly stuck in the business and not working on the business. And that's what we find. A lot of the people that will probably be listening to this, if any, will be students that are in an entrepreneurial program, that are trying to look into starting a business, whether they have a business idea or they're already currently in a business. What would you recommend to them, when it comes to, marketing and how, from a priority perspective, when should they start marketing their business?
What you're saying, what's my advice to them for starting out? I would say it's kind of like, well, starting any kind of business, or to find out what's the viability of what it is that you want to sell. And that means interviewing potential customers and finding out what's important to them. You know, I'll just take a handyman, for example. He, you know, interviewed a lot of people and found out, and these are his three talking points, that people don't show up on time. Mm-hmm. The cost is, you know, higher in the end than was quoted. Leave a mess in your house when they leave. Mm-hmm. And there were a few others, but we incorporated all of that into their marketing message. You know, research the viability and find out what is unique that you can bring to the market that solves, you know, an annoyance or a problem.
Yeah, that's exactly what we look at too. Because when I say I'm going to be at a client's house, what I hated about contractors before is you would call a contractor and set up a site visit, and they'd say, I'll be there between 10 and 2. I had a full-time job, you know, didn't have time to take off to go do a site visit for this guy. But for us, if I say I'm going to be there at 10, I'm there at 10. If we can't make it by 10, we normally give them a heads up the day before or whatever. But and we're plus or minus, you know, a couple minutes. But we try to show up on time. We try to say what we're going to do. We try to respond to the proposal as soon as possible and be as transparent as possible. And then the other thing we didn't like about contractors is the change orders. You start out with a price. Like we try to give a client, we're not the most expensive, but we're not the cheapest. And when you go with a cheaper person, typically you're going to pay more than even the mid grade. You may not pay as high as the highest general contractor, but you will pay probably higher than the mid range one, because he's going to hit you with change orders throughout the project. And that's where they also mark up their margins as well on change orders. So if a contractor is charging you 30% on the proposal itself, or somebody underbids and charges you 20%, they're going to charge you 40% on the change orders to make up for that additional 10%. And so they end up charging more than the mid-grade guy.
Well, is the customer asking for change orders, or the contractor imposing change orders?
It's the contractor saying, oh, you've got this issue right here.
Oh, we didn't know about that.
We didn't know about that. Oh. And the client will say, well, you should have known about that. And the contractor says, well, why would I know about that? I can't see through walls, that kind of thing. We try to do an inspection, deep enough inspection, that we're under their house or we're in their cabinets or trying to figure out, at least assuming or making some calculated decision on what could go wrong. And if things go perfectly fine, they get no change orders and they're happy because we're in and out of their house. And if some things do go wrong, we don't hit them with a change order. We just build it into the price. And in some cases we will, if we know that there's a potential for it, we'll give the client a heads up saying this price will probably go down if we don't have any, if we don't run into any issues, and then we take it off the final bill, which is something that, when I talked to my CPA about it and my lawyer about it, they said that's unheard of. Like, why would a contractor give a client money back if they have a signed contract? And it's more for us. Like, we're not in it to steal from our clients. We're in it to build a reputation and a long-term, brand in this area, so that when people say, hey, yeah, use Omniverus because they're honest and they don't overcharge you, but and they do good quality work. So that's what we're trying to kind of focus that on. But we're not, the only time that we're actually marketing that is when we're in their house talking to them. Yeah. And now you're in a sales pitch, right? So now I feel like a used car salesman. Oh. Right. So, and I hate selling. I don't like the selling part of it, right? Trying to tell them about how good and great we are. Because I feel like they probably hear that from everybody. And then we try to be like, and I said it before, open and honest. I've had contractors come over and they're kind of just, they're irritating or they're conceited or they're whatever, they think that they know more. And when you start asking them questions, they get, kind of snarky or whatever. So we try not to do that. So we try to really listen to the clients and what their needs are. But,
you know, one thing you could do is wrap your, what's unique about your business into a guarantee. Mm. There's a company that does similar work that you do, and their guarantee was, we will not leave your house a mess. Mm. And so it means every day when they're, still on the job. And if we do, we will pay to have your entire house cleaned. Mm. I think they've only had to pay once to have an entire house cleaned.
Yeah, so. That's interesting too.
Like the pizza delivery,
right.
Five minutes.
If it doesn't show up on time.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah, just don't open the door. So where do you see marketing kind of heading in the next 5-10 years? With the AI and that kind of thing. We use AI a lot for our social media stuff. But where do you see kind of like how is marketing looking for the next 5-10 years?
I use AI a lot too. It just makes me sound so much smarter,
right?
And not such a, like, if I'm really mad, and it makes it sound, I was like, make this sound stern but intelligent,
right?
And take the cuss words out,
right?
So where do I see it going? I don't know. Well, so a couple of years ago, did you hear anything about the metaverse?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, another thing that I have to learn. Well,
right.
Thank God it hasn't really come to play in our everyday lives, but that's a possibility. What I found really interesting was some people are playing on it and they're building their little houses and they're going to dance parties. Well, there was a realtor that said, well, hey, I sell real estate here in the real world. Why don't I sell real estate in the metaverse? So selling pretend, had somebody help him set up an office in the metaverse, and he sells real estate there, which actually just, I think, means he helps people facilitate people building or acquiring their space. I don't know.
It's such a weird world.
It is. It's nuts. And I don't like it. But that's just not my thing. But that could be something. I don't see it as much as it was talked about, 2 years ago. But that could be an alternate universe where people are marketing. Well, I mean, they are marketing. So if you're marketing to a crowd that enjoys that kind of thing, you got to have a presence there.
Right.
With, branded dance parties or whatever.
because I feel like, 25 years ago, there was nothing really out there for us to kind of, finding a house, right? You had to call a realtor, you'd look them up in the Yellow Pages or something like that.
Yeah.
But now even during COVID, we had people that were buying houses sight unseen.
I know.
And then moving and paying above market value for this house.
I know.
I think we're still, just because the internet has really only been around for 25 years, at least on the for us to use. I think we're still in the infant stage, right? And something's gonna happen where it's gonna just continue to explode up, and we don't know what that's gonna look like.
Yeah. Well, I've seen AI, you know, in chatbots where you're able to train it with, you take all of your sales materials. This would be probably for a more, you know, well-defined company that's got a lot of marketing activity and a sales mm-hmm. team. And you take all of your sales, I don't know, papers, who knows what, and upload it.
Right.
And so just about any question a person asks, the bot is able to answer. Or it can comb your website and use that information right. to answer. And it actually feels like you're talking to a human being when yeah. it's not. You know it's not, because who's going to answer at 2 a.m.?
Right. And or if you ask him and then they give you like kind of, it wasn't what you were looking for, you'd be like, I wasn't looking for that. And it's like, I'm sorry that I didn't satisfy your request.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Sometimes it doesn't quite work out, but yeah. you know, it's
for the most part, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. And, don't want to take up too much more of your time. But I do want to see if there's anything that, you know, we haven't kind of covered that you think is important for me as my, as a business owner, and also for people that are in the class that are trying to become business owners.
Wow.
And that's a big question.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. So developing a business, this isn't really necessarily about marketing, or it could be. I always have business envy when I look mm-hmm. at somebody who's been around a while and they're really successful and they've got all these products. They generally only started with one product. Right. And then being flexible, when somebody says, can you offer this? You may go, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to offer that. But yes, I do.
Right.
And that's just a way to grow mm-hmm. is, you know, be open to opportunities. Even if you're not ready, people are resourceful and figure it out.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we started in our garage and now we have a shop, which is great.
Uh-huh.
But to that point, like I came out of the aerospace industry. So I knew very little about construction other than the renovations I've done on my own. So,
uh-huh.
So when I go to a client, they're like, can you open this wall? And I'm like, sure, you know, and we'll figure
how
it out.
How hard can it be? Give me a sledgehammer.
Just, I mean, steel, wood, whatever. We'll figure out how to open it up. But like we had a foyer that we just took the whole floor out and opened the foyer up from the first floor to the second floor, which really kind of opened the whole house up. Mm. And it's an older house, 1930s. So it was, I didn't know if we could do it or not, but we started ripping the ceiling out. So yeah, we can make this work.
Yeah.
And there was a staircase going up it and everything. It's just, it was insane, but now it's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Turned out really, really nice. And, just hoping the house doesn't fall down now. No, we have, so part of my blog that we do is, and we just started doing the blog. I had to do this for the classes. You know, what is a general contractor and why do you need them? Why do general contractors ask you or tell you if or involve a structural engineer during that? So a lot of contractors, you don't have to be trained to be a general contractor. We're basically just project managers. Now, I have an engineering degree, but it's mechanical. My business partner has an aerospace engineering degree, but it's not structural. So we understand point loads and all that stuff that a structural engineer would understand, but you have to bring in that certified engineer to really do an analysis on your house when you go to do those things. And I think that's some contractors, and we've seen it in houses before, that where they will just take out a supporting wall and they'll say, well, we put a header in there, but did they calculate it correctly? And at either end of the header, it goes down to a point load. And is that point load supported all the way to the ground, like through the basement and into the ground? And a lot of the times it's not. So over time, yeah. It puts too much pressure on those specific joists, which the house will start to, that ceiling will start to push down on the supports down below. Or if you have a support, it's very easy to figure out which walls in your house are supporting walls, because wherever you go to the basement, and then you just, from there, you look at the, obviously the foundation walls are the exterior walls are all structural, but then in the center, you have beams or you have posts that are holding the house up. In those specific areas, that's where you put the structural walls to go up to this first, second, third floor, however many floors you have. It has to go start from the bottom. So if you shift a wall that's a supporting wall anywhere on the first, second, or third floor, you'll see over time that that wall will start to sink into the floor and mm-hmm. cause problems. Yeah. So it's that's why we hire a structural engineer. So, but yeah, it's been fun.
So I just want to add something to that you asked, what, you know, I guess top recommendation. Mm-hmm. Just don't let your marketing slip just because you're busy.
Right.
Right. So I find a lot of people, including myself, we market and then we get busy and we stop marketing and all of a sudden we got nothing down coming down the pipes. And it's like, oh, crap, right. I'm going to start marketing again.
Yeah.
So having consistency, getting professional help. Mm-hmm. You know, in the areas where you're not skilled or practiced. So, and I think they do say, I think it's 5% of your revenue should be allocated to okay. marketing.
That'll be good for my budget assignment this week.
Okay, there you go.
So, well, perfect. So again, interview with Christy Staton, Commander-in-Chief of Creative Force.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
And fun. I really enjoyed having this interview with you.
Thank you.